Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Manny Alejandro, a Republican candidate for New York State Attorney General. Alejandro announced his intent to run the day before the revelations and resignation this week of now former AG Schneiderman. Manny Alejandro was born and raised in a modest Italian immigrant household in Brooklyn. Alejandro's mother was a New York City school crossing guard, and his grandfather worked in a factory shoveling powder into a churner to make toothpaste. Alejandro received his undergraduate degree from New York University, his law degree from New York Law School, and will be receiving his MBA from the Sloan School of Management at MIT this year. He's a member of the New York State Bar. He's a member of the New York County Lawyers Association Supreme Court Committee. Alejandro's legal career spans 27 years in the financial services industry in compliance and regulation, including as in-house counsel for NASDAQ, JP Morgan, and Mana Partners. Most recently, Alejandro has his own legal practice focusing on digital assets and cryptocurrency markets. Welcome, Manny Alejandro.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
And it's a pleasure to have you. What in the world makes you think you're going to win this race?
I really think we're in a great position right now. I felt this way all along. I'm a true outsider, so I really wanted to make this a campaign, a contrast. So my message from day one was, I'm not a career politician. I'm an outsider. I really want to work on cleaning up the fraud, waste, and abuse and a culture of corruption in Albany. And I want to work with the federal government, and I want to work with President Trump. So I voted for Trump, and I just want to get that out of the way. There seems to be some equivocation for some candidates with regard to their support of the president. On balance, I support the president. I think things are going well in the country. Unemployment is very low. I think it's great what's happening with North Korea and the prospects of peace. So I would work with the federal government to make sure that New York is a safer place, and I would work to enforce the laws, the federal laws. So I've been on message, and also the last thing too is I've been talking about cleaning up the Charities Bureau of the Office of AG. So I've been on message and on point, Alan, from day one. We started the campaign in January, and I started speaking about the culture of corruption and the fact that Eric Schneiderman has been invisible on all the issues that we know very well about, unfortunately. ProCoco, NYCHA Housing, MTA, Pay to Play. He's been totally invisible on those. And, now it seems like maybe we know reasons why, or we could contemplate reasons why he didn't move forward in terms of getting involved in these issues. And I think it's troubling to be a New Yorker and to see what has happened to our state. I feel like we're quickly becoming like California, and we will quickly become a sanctuary state. I'm very concerned about that as well. So I've been repeating the same messages and themes like a mantra throughout the campaign. And I don't think that the events of the last couple of days with Eric Schneiderman's resignation really changed anything for me. I've been still saying the same message. I think it actually demonstrates that my message is absolutely correct and spot on. And he's a perfect example of this culture of corruption. And even the way that the investigation, his investigation, will be handled, and the confusion and the inherent confusion around that, to me, demonstrates major problems in the state. We really just don't know what to do because it's wrought with conflicts of interest.
Would you be willing to take on Governor Cuomo if you thought that he deserved a look-see?
Absolutely. We need to make sure that we elect an independent people's lawyer within the state of New York. And I will be the independent voice of the people in New York and the independent people's lawyer. Absolutely. That really is the role of the AG, is to be the people's lawyer for New York State. And it's very simple in terms of what that mandate is. Unfortunately, Eric Schneiderman has politicized the office. So he selectively enforced the law. He only enforced the law when he felt that it would move forward his progressive liberal agenda. I wouldn't do that, right? He's got over 100 lawsuits presently against Trump and the federal government. I would go through those lawsuits and carefully analyze them, I think most of them are going nowhere. But at the same time, I would carefully review them and analyze them and make a determination of whether or not we need to keep those lawsuits open. And if they're opened or they need to be continued and they're in the best interests of the citizens in New York, by all means, I will keep those lawsuits open. But no one's above the law. And we really need to kind of move past this culture of corruption. The other day I spoke about it when I gave a press conference in Albany. It's almost like a pothole that's in the street that never gets filled, and we keep either driving over it or driving around it. That, to me, is a pothole of corruption in New York State. We just accept it as a status quo. And unfortunately, we have the reputation as being, particularly now with Eric Schneiderman, we have the reputation as being the most corrupt state in the union. That's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. I like when New York is the best at something, but it shouldn't be the best or the most corrupt. That's not a good tag to have, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, you say no one's above the law, and yet you say you respect Trump, and that you voted for Trump, and there's many allegations that have been made about Trump.
Absolutely, but those are federal issues. I'm talking about state issues. I don't see where the Attorney General of the state of New York gets involved in federal issues.
Well, wait. Suppose, for example, Trump is putting a close to many of the environmental protection laws we have, and that people are going to suffer as a result of that. And, Schneiderman, for whatever bad things he's done here, which do seem to be significant on their face, has sued the president and said, you're not going to do that. You're not going to recreate smog in New York.
Right. And I'm not saying he shouldn't. I'm saying every case that's opened has to be evaluated on the merits. And it has to be essentially depoliticized. If it's in the best interest of New Yorkers and New York citizens, then absolutely a case should be commenced, or a case should be continued, or a case should be joined if a case was started by another state. So absolutely agree with that, to the extent it benefits New Yorkers. I'm talking about with specific regard to politicized actions in terms of going after the Trump Foundation and not going after the Clinton Foundation. The New Yorker article chronicled how depressed Attorney General Schneiderman was, or former Attorney General Schneiderman was, when Trump won. And it almost seemed like a personal vendetta. That's an issue that I think got in the way of him, Eric Schneiderman, carrying out his duties as Attorney General.
Well, first of all, you're positing that the Clinton Foundation is in some way derelict. I don't know that that's true, but Clinton is not the president. Trump is the president. You say you respect Trump. You say you voted for Trump. And I think in Blue State, New York, that can't be helping you. People hate Trump.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm an intelligent guy. I respect people's intelligence. I don't see it as much of a binary issue in terms of when people voted for and supported Obama. I didn't think it was a litmus test in terms of everybody who supported Obama supported everything Obama did or said. I don't know why I would be held to that standard because I said that I voted for Trump or I support Trump. On balance, I think he's doing a good job. But if there's an issue that I need to deal with that protects the people of New York, then by all means, that's my role as Attorney General, and that's
okay.
My mandate. That I'm
okay. Okay. Now, Manny, and we are talking to Manny Alejandro, who is running on the Republican ticket for Attorney General of New York State. But now, Manny, the president's lawyer, who is a New Yorker, Michael Cohen, has been. First of all, is in deep legal trouble and is going around. And then the papers are filled with the fact that he's been taking money from companies that want to influence policy with the president, saying, you got to come to me because I can influence them. Does that disturb you at all?
I don't know any details except what's obviously reported in the media, like anybody else. Absolutely. We have to make sure that we don't have an environment of pay to play and corrupt politics. So, as I mentioned earlier, right, I think all of that needs to be rooted out in every form. But I don't know anything about Michael Cohen. I know it's in the Southern District investigation right now. But you would be the
logical person who would be concerned with something like that. It's a federal crime that he's been accused of, obviously, if there are any. But you're the state guy. You'd be the head state prosecutor.
Right. I mean, to the extent it impacted New York State and New York State laws, absolutely. I mean, you just want to be clear in terms of federalism, in terms of, federal and versus state. And obviously would work with the federal authorities as necessary. But, to that point, there potentially could have been opportunities for former Attorney General Schneiderman to have done or to have participated in investigations with regard to the issues that I mentioned earlier, which he clearly was invisible on and did not. So I think it works both ways, right? If we're really going to look at issues objectively and depoliticize, then yes, you could check that box for me.
Okay. Now, you're going to have an opponent, obviously, and that opponent is going to be picked, in my opinion, by the leader of the New York State Assembly, Carl Hastie. Why? Because it's both parties sitting together for the purpose of reelecting, and then you get most of the Democrats, the majority of Democrats, and the head Democrat is Carl Hastie, and you have the what I would call the iron law of oligarchy kicking in. He gets to be the head guy. He gets to make the pick. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm not sure the real transparency that was described in what I read about how the process goes and is carried out. But nonetheless, I'm not concerned because whoever that person will be, again, will be part of the establishment. And I think we could take the same message and take the same challenge to them being an outsider, someone who's looking to clean up corruption and the fraud, waste, and abuse in Albany. And these individuals that whose names are being, you know, thrown in, all, to me, all part of that same cesspool.
You said before that no one is above the law. That's very disturbing because I don't want to have a fight with you here, but, you know, you've expressed your admiration for the president. And the president seems to think he's above the law. At least that's the way it's looking to me. The Washington Post found out you want to be an honest broker. Washington Post added up 3,000 lies this guy has told. You say we have to be fair, we have to be impartial, but it doesn't sound like you're being impartial about the president.
Absolutely, I am. I think that needs to be dealt with the way it's being dealt with. There's investigation being commenced. And that'll be subject to that investigation. And what we're talking about, there's a special prosecutor. So it is being investigated, and all those allegations are being looked into.
Okay, well, let's go somewhere else. I want to ask you your impression about New York State and its ethics laws. We're not doing too well. We have the governor's top man, Joe Pococo, who is described by the governor as his third brother and the favorite one from Mario Cuomo. And the governor establishes a Moreland Act Commission. And when it gets a little hot, he disbands the Moreland Act Commission. And by the way, this is very interesting. I'm just thinking about this now. Schneiderman goes along with it because it was his and Schneiderman's commission. But in any case, what needs to be done to clean up this cesspool of New York politics? And that includes the governor and, you know, the guys in the legislature. What do you want to see done?
Great, great question. So we really need to focus on how we could do that. Do we recommence the Moreland Commission? Do we pick up where we left off? I know Preet Bharara conducted an investigation that he closed in terms of why it was shut down by Governor Cuomo. But I really think we need to pick up where we left off and really get some experts viewing what we could do to make things better for us.
Do you know any? I mean, you know, you're going to run in a campaign. You're going to stand. They're going to stand up. They're going to ask you that question. And wherever you go, what should we do? What specifically? Not another commission.
Campaign, for example, of LLCs with regard to campaign contributions. We need to root out conflicts of interest in terms of people who are leading investigations, for example, on the prosecutorial side, who have relationships with either personal or former business relationships with people who are on a defense. There's so many things that need to be done, right? But when you're in a situation where there's many things that need to be done, you have to start with what I'll call a bright line test, right? So we need to evaluate how bad things are in terms of conducting an investigation and conducting series of investigations and start with some real concrete, demonstrable accomplishments. And I think we could really do this. I think we need to conduct reviews, and I think we need to potentially reconvene the Moreland Commission.
Now, in all due respect to you, Manny, I have to say that's not going to be enough in a campaign. You're going to have to, you can say reconstitute the Moreland Act Commission. That's a great idea. I also want to know about, and I think people do, about how you're going to think about things like term limits in the legislature. Should there be term limits?
I'm not opposed to term limits. I think two terms is fair. But again, if there are two terms that are wrought with corruption, I don't think that gets to the heart of the issue. So that's what I'm mentioning in terms of we really need to sit down You know, we don't know what the extent of the Moreland Commission and what the Moreland Commission went into, right? So that's what I'm saying. We really need to kind of recommence that as a starting point. But I'm open to term limits. But again, if you're attracting bad people and you have a culture of corruption, so someone's in for two terms and then they leave, and then someone else comes in for two terms and then they leave, but it's a constant culture of corruption and you don't clean things up at the foundation, what does it matter?
Let me put it this way. We all know, people in government, we think we know them, but we don't know you. We don't know about your character. So here's my question. How do you avoid falling into the so-called I am the law trap that Schneiderman did?
I think there are ways that I would work with my staff at the Office of Attorney General. I think you come across with a level of humility and civility and dignity and integrity. I think the problem with Eric Schneiderman was, to me, he clearly politicized the office. And I think that's where things went bad for him. Because when actions were brought forward and he got involved in an issue, politics always seemed to lead and be interposed in terms of him moving forward on an issue or whether or not he moved forward on an issue. So that, to me, the important thing would be to come across as someone who's independent. I think independence is probably the key.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions specifically so people will know where you stand. Legalization of marijuana.
I'm against it.
Why?
Because I don't think that New York needs to legalize something that is federally prohibited and illegal federally. So I don't go with the Colorado model or the Washington model. Medicinally, oh. I'm open to obviously the benefits of medicinal marijuana, but recreational, no.
What about ICE, you know, the immigration people going around and arresting people in New York and sanctuary cities? Where do you come down on all of that?
I'm against sanctuary cities. I would work with the federal authorities on enforcing the laws, including immigration. To me, one of the best ways of doing that is to utilize E-Verify. So there's ways that the government could work with employers in terms of the E-Verification processes, which are all automated now. And in that way, we could determine, what we need to determine.
What about DACA and all the kids who have been brought here by none of their own fault, but they're here? Republicans and Democrats have said that they want to find a way for them to stay here. It's not fair. They've never been back to their home countries. They don't know anything about them. But people are getting picked up. What do you think?
I think it should be decided. It's a legislative issue, and Congress should act upon it. I don't think it's something that should have been, put into effect through executive order.
Well, but you're a leader. You're going to be a leader, and you're going to have to take the lead in that. And somebody's going to say to you, well, somebody's going to stand up and say, should I be deported? And you're going to say,
to the extent that people are here illegally, we need to enforce the law.
Even kids? Even kids?
I mean, each person has the right to due process, right? Even kids. So we have to get into the details and figure out really what's going on. This is not a simple process or, a simple yes-no kind of answer, right? I mean, there are many people here under many different circumstances. So I think it's unfortunate to kind of reduce this to a binary yes-no. I think it's very complicated. I think we need to address the resources that are needed to adequately address this issue in this manner. But again, this is a federal issue. And don't forget, I would be the Attorney General of the state of New York. And as far as I'm aware, nothing's changed that has made immigration a state issue.
Okay.
Right? It's a federal issue. So we need to put pressure on the federal government to come up with solutions to these questions and these problems.
Okay, so Manny Alejandro, you're running for Attorney General of the state of New York. Now, what about the environment? Schneiderman has been a lot of lawsuits, suing coal fired plants and other environmental lawsuits. Would you continue this?
I would have to evaluate each of them on a case-by-case basis. And again, as I mentioned earlier, to the extent that they protect New Yorkers and they protect the environment of the state of New York, I would be supportive of them, but I can't make any blanket statements.
Would you want Donald Trump to come in and campaign for you?
Absolutely. If he's interested in doing it, I would welcome it.
Okay. So now let me talk about criminal justice reform. There's, all kinds of proposals, bail proposals that the rich can raise bail, the poor can't, that kind of thing. Where are you on that?
So it's a great question. So I think the real problem is with defense, right? I really think the problem is that many people in a city and state can't afford legal counsel. And I think really that's where the inequity is. I'm concerned that if there's any changes to minimum mandatory sentencing, it's putting more in the hands of judges. That is of concern to me. That is a majorly concern to me about giving judges more authority and autonomy. I'm very concerned about that.
When we talk about criminal justice reform, overwhelming numbers of people of color are in prison, you know, and it does seem to be somewhat unfair. And many criminal justice experts are saying that. So is there a way to get people to not feel that if their kid happens to be of color, they're going to end up in a prison?
Well, that's a great question. I really think we need to focus on why that's occurring. I think right now we are really not understanding why that's occurring and why people feel that way. So I think we need to focus energies on and resources on making those determinations. As far as I'm concerned, in terms of the research I've conducted and the people I've spoken to, there are big inequities in terms of legal representation. So a lot of people who live in poor neighborhoods can't afford legal representation. So there's higher incidence of convictions. I think that's inherently the problem, as opposed to looking at it. You know, I would focus on that side of it as opposed to focusing on the other side, which would be to reduce minimum mandatory sentencing, for example, or reducing bail or getting rid of bail.
Manny, very quickly, because we only have 2 minutes. Are there too many guns around or not?
I think we need to revisit that also in terms of, you know, why we have the incidents that where we have. But I'm pro Second Amendment. I think it's challenging in terms of inner cities and areas where there's high concentrations of people. You know, in terms of what's been going on, any incidents that have occurred have been quite unfortunate.
Okay, and now we have a great crisis, as you know, with heroin, addictive drugs. What are you going to do about that?
The problem is, as far as I'm concerned, is there's too many prescriptions floating around. I see people, I live in New York City, and I see people walking the streets with prescriptions in their hands. I'm not quite sure these doctors are freely writing prescriptions for opioids that are unnecessary. And I think that needs to be investigated in terms of the frequency of prescriptions written by doctors, and we need to institute more controls.
And what about the heroin?
We need to determine where the heroin's coming from and how it's coming in. I mean, we need to work with the DEA on that. And that's another one of my concerns, is if Eric Schneiderman was at war with the federal government, to what extent is the state working cooperatively with the federal authorities?
I only got 30 seconds. I want to ask you about the many proposals for things like needle exchanges and safe places to get drugs. So what do you think?
I think it's absolutely awful, and I think it's terrible. We're not Amsterdam. I think, you know, people taking drugs, illegal drugs, is a crime, and I would not want to enable that. I think we could have various outreach programs and support centers to help people who need it. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to give people an opportunity to do things, in certain neighborhoods around children and make areas potentially more dangerous. So I think. In an effort to help people, we could be hurting more people.
We are out of time. Our guest has been New York State Republican Attorney General candidate Manny Alejandro. Manny, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm sure you'll be on a good deal more as we go along.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.